Say hello to our friend Sam Panionovich, the betting analyst, the Fox Sports and New England Sports Network. That's the Nesson.com personality. And we worked with Sam here for a long time at WGN Radio. He was a regular on my Saturday morning show. And though he's left the coop, we still stay in touch with him once in a while when there's some major sporting event on the horizon and where maybe some wagering will take place. And he wrote a piece this week which describes some of the great prop bets of all time. He says one of the greatest prop bets in Super Bowl history, you know, like how long will the national anthem go? Will the toss of the coin be heads or tails? What will the color of the Gatorade be? One of the greatest prop bets of all time about the Super Bowl had to do with the Chicago Bears. And it was, will William the Refrigerator Perry score in the game? I don't remember that they used to use Fridge as a fullback. I thought it was really a novelty. Did they sometimes give him the ball? They trot him out there? Okay, so in the Super Bowl, what do you think the odds were that they posted for the Fridge scoring? And what happens if he did? Hey, Sam, how are you?
Doing well. I have the answer for your question, too.
Go.
20-1 is what they opened it in Super Bowl 20 between the Bears and Patriots. And it was funny because I was talking with Art Manteris for a story that I just wrote on Fox. And Manteris was, you know, hinging on the words of Mike Ditka, who said to the press, we are not giving Fridge the ball ever again. So they were like, all right, we'll hang 20-1. Problem is, everybody rolled into Vegas and wanted to bet it. And they bet it at 20-1 and 18-1 and 14 and 12 and 10. It got all the way down to 2-1. And what do you know? 37-3, Bears are up big. Ditka brings in this monster, the rookie defensive tackle, William Perry, who rumbles into the end zone. Caesars lost over $100,000 on the prop.
Well, I'm trying to, you know, it was so long ago. It wasn't necessary, that's for sure. I mean, I think history remembers that as a really fun play, but here in Chicago we remember it as you denied Walter Payton a score.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's really the one thing that didn't happen in that game. I mean, it had everything. It had long touchdown passes. It had ferocious defense, sacks and fumbles and turnovers and all that. But it didn't have a Walter Payton touchdown. And I think that's how a lot of people still remember it.
I wonder, there must have been a prop on that. Will Walter score? And I don't know what the odds on that would have been, but I would have said even, right? I mean, of course Walter will score. He's Walter Payton.
Well, they didn't have a lot of the props up back in the 80s. In fact, the prop revolution didn't happen until the 90s when a lot of these games were blowouts. But let me just give you an example. Like Travis Kelce to score a touchdown for the Chiefs on Sunday. He's their biggest touchdown weapon. He's minus 160 to score a touchdown. So you have to lay 160 to win 100 and collect 260. If it's Walter Payton, I mean, let's just play hypothetical. It's got to be you got to lay 2 to win 1, at least, because everybody would bet it, right? I mean, the books would have probably cleaned up on Walter not scoring a touchdown because everybody would have bet the yes.
Oh, yeah, right, for sure, for sure. What are some of the novel bets that are out there this year, Sam?
Well, I love this one. It is the jersey number of the first touchdown scorer. So you basically think about the number of the guy who crosses the goal line, and that's the answer of the bet. But they made an over-under, so it's 11 and a half. And it's really, I mean, it's degeneracy at its finest because I have no idea, but I will bet on this when I land in Vegas tomorrow. The number 11 and a half gives you the under on Jalen Hurts, on A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, Philly's top receivers. You also get Kansas City's running backs, McKinnon and Pacheco. They wear 1 and 10. However, if you go over 11 and a half, you get Mahomes. He wears 15. You get Kelce, he wears 87. You get all the Philadelphia running backs, and then you get Philly's tight end, Dallas Goedert, who wears 88. I think I like the over at 11.5, but the fact that you can bet on this is just, it's wild to me, and I love it.
That's a novel bet. It's sort of like a fantasy team. This is my team, that's your team, who's going to score first, right? That's what we're talking about?
Yeah, whoever scores the first touchdown, you look at the jersey number, and the bet is over under 11 and a half. I had to bring up a kicker prop, though, because I know you're a Hall of Fame kicker in Joliet.
This is
the
correct.
Longest field goal has been a prop for a long time. Like, how long will the longest field goal be? And we do have that. It's 47 and a half. But how about this one? what will be the total yardage of field goals in Super Bowl 57? The number is 113.5.
113.5. Boy, somebody's that's way too in the weeds for people like me, but 113.
No, it's not. If you can, you can, all right, you have a pen and paper in front of you, right?
Yeah, I've just circled 113 and 47.5.
Okay, so let's just go with the 113.5. All right, say that four field goals are made in the game.
Yeah.
And they're all 30 yards.
Right.
It's 120.
So that's the over.
Yep, that's the over. So if there are 18 field goals, it's probably going to go over. If there are two field goals, it probably goes under. So you basically need like four 28-yard field goals to get over that number.
But if you had a 40 and a 40, that's 80, and then you'd only need 33 more. 40, a 40, and a 33 in the game, I think you'll get that. I think you'd get three field goals and that they would be at least 40, 40, and 33. So I think I'm taking, I think it would be 43, 440. No, yeah, it'd be 33. So yeah, I think I'm going to take the over on that, Sam.
Your fourth grade math teacher is not happy with you right
now. 80, 33, 3, 1, 1. Yeah, that's right.
No, I know, but I mean, you know, you should. We used to know this like clockwork, and now you're like, oh,
that's more work than I thought.
Two.
All right, already. So I'm going to take the over on that one. Are they going to do the length of the national anthem and the coin toss and the Gatorade and all those ones?
Yeah. So I saw the number on Chris Stapleton's anthem, and it's a big one because usually it's an under 2 minute anthem. But the number on Stapleton's anthem is 128 seconds. So that's 2 minutes and 8 seconds, right? That's,
I knew that.
Yeah, 60, yeah. 60, and 8. I'm double checking. So a longer anthem, and it's already been bet up. So it's 130.5 seconds right now. So this should be a longer, maybe a drawlier, countryer anthem. And, I mean, he's got great pipes, and he can hold these notes. It sounds like it'll be a longer anthem. So basically the number now, you need 2 minutes and 10 seconds if you like the over.
You know, I like betting on the March Madness. Everybody does brackets, and I think that's fun. I don't know that I would bet on the Super Bowl, although some of these things sort of feel like March Madness. You know, what do I know about some little school out west, but all of a sudden they're my team. So maybe I could get myself cheering on the national anthem or the jersey number of somebody that's going to score. I did see that 50 million Americans are going to wager $16 billion. That must be an all-time high, huh, Sam?
Absolutely. And you think about the trajectory of the industry, right? I mean, sports betting has been up and to the right. It's why I come on your program, first and foremost. But secondly, you know, we're in 33 states now. So this Sunday, you can walk into a sports book and make a legal bet in 33 states plus Washington, D.C. And, yeah, that number is all-encompassing. It's legal, illegal, with friends, pools, squares, bookies, all that stuff. So, yeah, 50.4 adults in this country will bet over $16 billion, and that is up almost entirely double from last year when the projections were about $7.8 billion. Yeah.
Wow. Give me another strange bet that may be taking place, one of those props. But also, let me pause here, Sam, and just come back with me for a second and just tell me something about the teams. Let's just talk about the game for a second. What do you expect? What should I key on? I don't know anything about these teams. Just tell me something that will make me appreciate the game a little more. Are they betting now legally in Massachusetts, Sam?
It opened last Tuesday, and yes, I was there, and yes, I gambled, buddy.
Do you? Because I wonder if those of you who are picking the games or giving odds on the games should not be betting on the games. Shouldn't there be a gap between the broadcasters and the games they're talking about?
Well, we're not broadcasting the game, so I'm not, like, you know, plugged into the truck or anything like that. I mean, I'm just handicapping what I think is going to happen. I mean, if the game was on NESN, I couldn't bet the game, but it's not. It's on Fox.
Oh, really? So if it's on your network, then you don't bet it?
Yeah, if you're directly working with the broadcast, you're not supposed to. I mean, that's in the bylines of your contracts and all that. So if I was on the sideline for the game or calling the play-by-play, yeah, I couldn't have a bet on it because I might have information that you don't, but I don't have any of that. I'm basically trying to figure out the best bets to make. I've got about six of them right now. I know some people that have 50, and I think that's stupid. But before we go, by the way, I need your Gatorade prop because you've hit this in two of the last 3 years. You know that, right?
I know purple is a long shot. Red, lime, orange. Well, I'm an orange guy.
You are an orange guy, I know. And then you had blue last year, and it was blue. I mean, I don't know where you pull this stuff from.
It's my superpower. It's one of my many superpowers.
Well, because you don't overthink it. That's why you win. If you start overthinking it and analyzing it, then you're going to get too deep in the weeds.
Red. I'm going with red.
Red! Wow.
As though that's fascinating. Okay, yeah, I'll say red for the Gatorade dump. That's the one to me that I don't know how they don't rig it. Like, if you knew what the money, if somebody had some way to profit or not lose a lot of money from the Gatorade thing, just go put the fix it. Go put the right Gatorade in there that you need. Give them a different bucket of Gatorade. That's, to me, very easily corrupted. But I guess it's not.
We don't think about that. I can also, the I team is on the case. There has never been a red Gatorade bath in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, it's time. I mean, one of the teams wears red, don't they? Aren't the Chiefs red, Sam?
Yes, they are. But the Chiefs poured orange 3 years ago when they beat San Francisco, who also wears red. But we've seen a couple instances where Kansas City has poured orange in championship games and, of course,
hey, Sam,
in the Super Bowl I just mentioned.
I don't want to talk
I'm
about
here.
The Gatorade anymore. Okay, so
okay,
now,
fine, fair enough.
Now, we're done with the Gatorade talk. Now, let's talk about the teams and the game. How many – give me your overview.
I'll make it simple. The Eagles are a better team, but the Chiefs have the best player. We saw a lot of those Super Bowls in the 2000s and the 2010s with the Patriots. And sometimes the Patriots were the better team, sometimes they were not. But they always had Tom Brady, and he was always the guy that terrified you in the third and fourth quarter. And that's sort of how I feel about this game. And I'm not making a direct comparison between Brady and Mahomes, but they are game changers, and they are Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And Mahomes was the best player in the AFC Championship last week, or 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I don't think Kansas City was the best team, but he was the best player, and he played the best in the big moments. If Mahomes does what he can do and maximizes his abilities, Kansas City's going to win this game, but the Eagles, very good. Strong on defense, really good offensive line. They run the football a lot, and they have a quarterback who's a lot like a young Lamar Jackson. That's what Jalen Hurts does. He's a run-first guy, great athlete, but he can also throw. I do think, though, Eagles have a better all-around team, but Kansas City might have the best player and maybe the best two players with Mahomes and Travis Kelce. So you pick your poison there.
So close game, Kansas City wins, but if it's 10 points or something like that, Philadelphia wins. Who do you like? Who are you going to pick?
I think I'm on the Mahomes side right now. Eagles are a 2-point favorite in Las Vegas right now, and some books have Philly -1.5. So it's essentially a coin flip between the two. It's very interesting to get Mahomes as an underdog. I used to always bet Brady as an underdog and did that a couple years ago in the Super Bowl when they knocked off Kansas City. It's hard to ignore what I believe to be the best player in football catching points. And I know it's not a one-player game, but really it's the quarterback that usually decides the Super Bowl, and I get the better quarterback.
Yeah, Mark Carmen here was talking last Saturday about how the as goes the quarterback, so goes a team, and as goes the team with the best quarterback, so goes the Super Bowl. And then he just talked about the New Orleans Saints or the San Francisco 49ers or the Kansas City Chiefs. How often have the Chiefs made the playoffs without Patrick Mahomes? And it was like never, or never this far. You know, it was just like if you have a marquee quarterback, your odds of getting to and winning the Super Bowl improve exponentially. It's a quarterback's league, was his point. I know that's not breaking news, but when he broke it down numerically, it was pretty amazing how one-sided it is. You said you had a half a dozen votes there, Sam. What else are you looking at?
I like the first half under. It's 24.5 points. I just think that these games usually come out low and slow. Offenses are rusty. It's been a couple weeks, and nerves certainly click in. You know, I think that's part of it. So I do like the under 24.5. I went over 11.5 on the jersey number of the first touchdown score.
Right.
I bet roughing the passer will happen at +140. I think that's very likely. We know, John, the refs love to get involved. They love to throw their flags, so I think that happens. And then another one that we haven't talked about yet, this is always a fun one. How many players will attempt the pass? And, yeah, I know. You laugh, but well, I bet it.
Three? Is the line three?
It's 2.5, yeah. So you need three. And over 2.5 passers is the underdog. You get +130. With these coaches and their creativity and versatility on offense, they're going to do a trick play at some point. I don't know who's going to throw it. I don't really care. And here's the best part. They don't even have to catch it. just throw it. You're going to think about me when it's 4th and 2 and the punter takes the snap and throws a pass. I'm going to go ballistic in Las Vegas when that happens. And I don't care if it's a good pass or a bad pass, but I need three players to attempt a pass, and that's where my bread is buttered.
I'm thinking Gary Upremium or some botched field goal where the field goal kicker is now running with the ball and he shovels it off to somebody, and that constitutes a pass. That would be a pass, right?
Yeah, as long as it's a forward pass, it counts. It doesn't matter who it is, but I think we're going to see like a wide receiver reverse pass or
right.
Travis Kelce pop pass or something like that, but you know, I was talking with these bookmakers in Vegas, and there are over 1,000 ways to bet on this game, which is, when you think about it, it's absurd bet on. I mean, longest punt, how many sacks will there be? How many passing yards? How many touchdown catches? I mean, you name it, you can probably bet on it. And I also wrote about this story. There's a Chicago connection to how these props all started. We talked about the fridge one already. But there was a prop in 1990 when these games were all pretty much blowouts, right? The Imperial Palace put up a prop. The Bulls played on Saturday. The Super Bowl was on a Sunday. Who will score more points, Michael Jordan or the Joe Montana San Francisco 49ers? Basically, pick the winner. Jordan comes out on Saturday, scores 39. So if you bet Jordan, you're like, ooh, all right. Well, San Francisco comes out Sunday and scores 55.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
That's fun when they do cross sports like that. So 1, 2, 3, 4, do I have you down for all 6 of your wagers for the Super Bowl?
I kept a couple close to the vest. I could text you offline if you want. I gave you enough, all right?
What, you're afraid that you're going to lose money if you tell us what these other bets are of yours, and then it'll change the line and somehow mess up with your math? Is that it, Sam?
Yeah, there is one that I want to wait until I land tomorrow and bet.
Really?
I don't want anybody to move it.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
yep.
Okay. Well, tell me next week or text me offline. I won't say it on the radio.
All right, you got it, buddy. Thanks for having me.
And I probably will say it on the radio. Text me after the game, Sam. Don't tell me before. Okay?
All right. Passers, remember that, too.
What about the passers?
We need three people to throw a pass.
Yes.
That's all we need.
I'll be thinking about you. Thank you, Sam.
All right. Thanks, pal.
Sam Panionovich. You hear him with John Records Landecker regularly in the evening. They have a fun time. He's over in Boston at the New England Sports Network. Used to do that sort of thing here.